1 Samuel chapter number 31. Okay. I said this morning that I was going to, next 4 or 5 weeks, possibly deal with a subject that I've never dealt with personally. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if pastors dealt with this. My mind can't remember everything. But I've never dealt with this personally, and that is suicide. Years ago, Chris and I, we had a friend that went out into eternity, and we don't know if that very day he committed suicide because of the events that took place. But that's always been on my mind. Did he actually do this because he wanted to take his own life? And the answer to that is, I don't know. But I want to bring this to our attention tonight because I believe it's important for us to understand some things. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 31 of 1 Samuel. It says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down, slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise upon his sword and died with him." Let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've allowed us to have. God, I pray that we would be attentive to your word. I pray that you give me your wisdom to be able to speak this in truth. God, I pray that you would help us also to be more alert and more aware of the people that you have placed in our lives that might be struggling with things silently. Because not everybody is outspoken. And so, God, I pray that you would allow us through this to be a help to those that you've allowed us to come in contact with. We ask you these things, and in your name, amen. Over the next few weeks, we will look at 7 people recorded in Scripture that have taken their own life. We just read about 2 of them this evening. This is important for us to hear because many of us in here tonight has probably thought about taking our own lives at one time or another. We've all been there. I'll give you an example of my own life. Oh, life would just be better if I were just gone and everybody else would be happy. That's a thought of taking your own life. We've been there in some way, shape, or form. There is a certain path that most people who decide to end their life goes down. And we need to be aware of those signs so that we can be a help. Now, there are obvious signs in the life of Saul that they overlooked. And we're going to deal with those tonight. So before we go further with this, I'm going to give you some things to write down to help you to be able to look for in lives of people that God has entrusted you to be a part of their life with. So here are some signs that will help you to be aware of these things. First of all, we need to pay attention to when people are talking about or even maybe writing about suicide. People write notes. People say things on Facebook. They'll say things on Instagrams. They'll say things in a passing. Be aware of those situations. Be aware of signs of serious depression. Many people battle depression, and we don't know about it. Many people in our own church battle depression, and we have no idea. So be aware of those signs of serious depression. For example, feeling no sense of purpose. Number 3, be aware and notice if they have withdrawn themselves from family, and from friends. By the way, this is one of the things that I noticed that took place in the life of Saul. He withdrew himself from his family and friends. Be aware of statements like this, as I just mentioned earlier. Life would be better without me in it. Let me say this. No, it would not. Because with your absence, there leaves a void. Be aware of reckless behavior or increased risk-taking. For example, if I start talking about going parachuting, be alarmed, because that's risk-taking in my mind. Number six, be aware of increased alcohol or drug use. You mean believers drink? Yes, some believers drink because they don't have the convictions that you might have. You mean believers use drugs? Yeah, because their convictions are different than your convictions. Number seven, be aware of the feelings of rage or uncontrolled anger. And I'm not talking about a spouse or a husband and wife in an argument, because that's natural, that happens. Number eight, be aware of someone seeking access to firearms or other things such as pills. And also be aware of individuals cutting themselves. Number nine, this is more or less for the elderly people. Be aware of the changing of the will, just out of nowhere, and getting their affairs in order. And the last one that we need to be aware of, be aware of dramatic changes in their personality. Those will help us to be able to spot these things in people's lives so that we can be a help to them. I said this after our Sunday school class was dismissed, as I was trying to give you a little insight of what I was doing tonight. But suicide worldwide averages around 800,000 people per year worldwide. In the United States, as of 2019, 42,000 individuals took their own lives. So about every 40 seconds, someone goes out into eternity by taking their life. Very sad. In the age bracket between 10 to 34 years of age, listen to this statistic. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in the United States. Suicide is the second leading cause of death. And I did find this out, but in a lot of countries, this sounds funny when you think about it, but suicide is illegal. What are you going to do, arrest somebody? I'm not trying to make fun of the situation. It just doesn't sound right to me. It's different. So there's obvious things that are taking place. And of all seriousness, this needs to be looked at, because people around us need help. And it's not just the unsaved who take their lives. It's the saved that take their lives as well. It happens to anybody in every category of life. As we look at the life of Saul and his armor bearer, we will see what reasons they had for taking their own life. Even though I don't agree with what they did, I can certainly understand what led them to do what they did. And with that being said, what they did was an act of being selfish. That's what it is. Saul was a man who had everything in life. You can go back and you can begin reading in 1 Samuel, and you can begin to see his life being able to be transformed to the man that he was, being turned into a king of a nation, being in charge of people, ruling an army. You can see all this take place in his life. And those are things that you look at according to the world that would make an individual happy. Someone whose career has a desire to have power, fame, and fortune. Saul had all of those things. But Saul had a personal battle raging within him that showed up at the very end of his life. Saul was a king who had people under his control. They would do anything that he would ask of them because people want to please their king. But there was something that began early on in his rule as a king, and that was he developed pride. Pride was one of the things that was leading up to his final breath in life. But that's not what caused him to take his very own life. His pride began to destroy relationships around him, including his son-in-law, the future king, David. His pride quickly turned into jealousy. His pride then would go from jealousy and it would turn into anger. And then his anger would turn into rage and he would begin to act upon those things. Saul had a personal battle within himself. We can say that he was fighting demons. So why had this happened? Because Saul hated the fact that he thought that people loved David more than him. And so with that being said, he allowed this, as I mentioned, one of the things, I think it was the fourth thing that I mentioned on the list, he allowed himself to pull himself away from people that he was surrounded with. His pulling away had caused those close to him to distance themselves. And by the way, some of them had a very good reason to distance themselves from Saul. Now think about it. Did David not have a good reason to distance himself from Saul? I mean, his king, his father-in-law, had a desire to kill him. If someone had a desire to kill me, I would want to distance myself from him as well. But it was his pulling away that led him to this. A son sneaking around his father's back, Jonathan, due to the loyalty that he had with David, he would sneak around his father's back and keep in contact with David. While doing this, David was hiding amongst the rocks for protection from Saul. By the way, if you're actually, and I know people get tired of hearing about this, and my trip to Israel, I understand those things, but I'm not tired of it. If you were to actually see where David was at in these rocks, you would be astounded. Because it's not like going to Colorado and climbing up a boulder. You would have to be a pretty desperate person to get to the places that he was hiding in. And then at the same time, you'd have to be a pretty desperate person to be looking for that individual. And Saul was pretty desperate. So David would hide amongst the rocks from protection from Saul. And by the way, David had many opportunities. I shouldn't say many opportunities, but David had opportunities to kill Saul. But he couldn't. So now there has been a war that has come upon the Philistines and the Israelites. We just read about this. Verse number 1, it says, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa." So this war has come about. And with war, there's devastation. We all know that. We've seen that. Many of us were not around during the World War I or World War II, but we're able to read about things in history. We're able to educate ourselves of what took place in that time. A lot of us have been around in other wars. The only thing that really comes to my recollection, the first war that I can remember, is the Desert Storm. Some in here can go far back as the Vietnam War and the Korean War, which a lot of people forget about. And then we have other wars that have taken place ever since then. And with wars, there comes devastation. And that devastation is a loss of lives. And that happens. That's a part of wars. So the outcome was devastating. But here in verse 1, we see the Philistines becoming victorious And because of their victorious defeat here, the Israelites, the ones that were remaining, the ones that were still alive, begin to flee. And we see that take place in many wars. But in verse number 2, the Philistines had followed hard upon Saul. They pursued him like no other, because they wanted to see Saul dead. Not only did they follow hard upon Saul, but Saul had three sons that were just mentioned here. And that is Jonathan, that is Abinadab, and that is Melchishua, his sons. And so with that devastation that took place, Saul faced something very difficult in his life. And that is this, the death of his sons. Not one, not two, but three of his boys went out into eternity. I can't imagine, nor do I even want to experience the loss of a child. I don't ever want to experience those things. But Saul lost three sons in one battle, probably around the same time of each other. And the pain and the anguish that he would feel from that day would lead him to taking his own life. Even though he had taken some hits in the battle, because we read about the hits that were taken. Let's read this in verse number 3. It says, "And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers." He had taken some hits in this battle, but yet he is still to lose his own life. And then the Bible goes on and begins to say that the archers hit him. I can just imagine these men at this point in time, they're very precise when it came to shooting their targets. They practice for this. They train for this. They just wouldn't shoot aimlessly. They would take great precision, great caution as they're doing this. And I can just imagine the archers taking their bow and their arrow and they're just going back. And they see Saul in the distance. And they begin to let that arrow go through. And those arrows begin to go through and they begin to pierce the body of Saul. And they're coming at such great speed and they're coming at such great force that they're having an impact on his body. There's a loss of blood. There's a shock that's going through his system at this point in time. But yet he is still coherent. Yet he is still alive. Not once do I see in Scripture if there are arrows that are actually in his body, but I can just imagine that they are. You just don't grab an arrow and begin to pull it out, because if you pull out the arrow, most of us know arrows, they have pointy edges on them. And when you pull that out, that's when it begins to tear the flesh that's inside of you. And it can cause more damage. It can actually cause death, which is why, I don't know if you folks remember this, when Steve Irwin passed away, he passed away for this reason. When he got stung by the stingray, people say if he would have just left it in, he would have still been alive. But in his reaction, because of the pain that he experienced, and he knew he stabbed, he grabbed that stingray and he pulled it out. And as he pulled out that stingray, that's when death came upon his body. Began to tear the very insides of his body. What a gruesome way to die. By the way, here's a good ending to that story. You guys remember Brother Herschel Case? I don't know if you remember the story, but Brother Herschel Case, if I remember correctly, he or somebody else led Steve Irwin to the Lord months before he passed away. I thought that was exciting. But we see something here in verse number 4 and verse number 5. Let's again read. It says, verse number 3, "And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it." At this time, because of what has taken place in the life of Saul, because of the Archers, having direct precision against him, had great aim, and the arrows hit him. Now there is a pause in the battle, if you can say that. Paul stops running. Saul stops running from his enemies. But yet his enemies are obviously still looking for him because of the fact they know they're in pursuit of him. And they want to know if he was directly hit. And if they find him, they will kill him if he is still alive. But Saul didn't want to give them that satisfaction. So during this time, here's how my mind thinks. During this time, as he's there with his armor bearer, there's a pause in the war. They're still searching for him, obviously, but there's a little pause. And during that pause, Saul begins to reflect on his life. We do that, don't we? We reflect on our life. And I believe he does some reflecting here. After all the thinking that he did, he does this. He takes his own life. And you want to know the reason why Saul took his life? I'm going to give you the answer right now. It's one of the leading causes of why people commit suicide to this day. And that is this: shame. He was ashamed for what he has caused in the life of people. He was ashamed of the man that he had become. A man that had it all. He was ashamed of letting his nation down. He was ashamed of letting his family down. He was ashamed of letting his friends down. And I know this doesn't say this in Scripture, but I personally believe that he was ashamed of letting God down as well. He had a time to reflect. His own shame had caused him to take his own life into his hands. But here's what took place before that. The archers, they didn't kill him. He's there, he's wounded. And then he had to ask his own armor bearer. His own armor bearer to do so. But he wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So with that being said, here's what Saul did. Because of his shame, he fell upon his own sword. His life was ended. He fell upon his own sword. I begin to think about that. Why? Why would someone do such a selfish thing? Because that's what shame does to you. It makes you feel worthless. It makes you feel like life's not worth living anymore because people might think differently of me. So his own shame caused him to take his own life. Saul felt like he let people down. He was so ashamed of what he had allowed himself to become. But Saul needed a friend to be a help to him. But the friend that he could have had, he chased away. I believe a friend that would have been right by his side if things worked out accordingly, but he chased his own friend away, and I'm talking about David. And in a sense, he chased his son Jonathan away as well. Saul was so full of himself and thought that he would have been better off without the ones that God had placed in his life. Every single one of us in here tonight, God has placed us in each other's life for a reason. And I'm not kidding when I say that. Some are placed in our lives for this. Great prayer warriors. You can get on the phone or you can shoot a text. You can say, "Hey, so-and-so, I really have a need that I really need you to pray about. Would you please keep this between us?" God's placed that individual in your life for a reason. God has placed individuals in our lives from this church to be in a great encouragement to one another. "Hey, I just wanted to give you a phone call today because I haven't seen you, and I just want to encourage you. I don't want to let you know that we love you." God's placed people in our lives for a reason. And we should be thankful for them because we all need each other. We all need each other. Saul, in the end, he couldn't even depend upon his own armor bearer. The second person I want to deal with tonight is this, and we'll be quick with this. I'm not going to be long. And that is Saul's armor bearer. We read about two. We dealt with Saul. Now let's deal with the armor bearer. Verse number 4 said, "Then said Saul and his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise upon his sword and died with him." Real quick, why did the armor bearer take his own life? The reason he did so was this: he took his life out of fear. Shame is what caused Saul to take his life. Fear is what caused the armor bearer to take his life. We see this take place so often in our world. And I'm going to give you an example, just one example. When people get bad news that they are going to die, and if you're not saved, it is bad news. I will say that. Here's what takes place. They become so fearful of death, they become so fearful of the process of dying, here's what they do. Because of fear, they enter life very quickly. And that's exactly what the armor bearer did. The armor bearer knew that when he was captured by the Philistines, that they would take his life. But he probably knew that it wouldn't be a quick process. He probably knew that there would be some torture that would be involved. Maybe, for example, chopping off his arm. That's what they did with those things. They would also take your guts out. You wouldn't die right away. It'd be a slow process. And I believe he became very afraid of that process. And because of that, he decided for himself, "I don't want to die this way. I don't want to die a slow, gruesome death. I'm scared of that." And so he took his own life. Shame and fear, even to this day, causes people to take their own lives. And I believe it's something that we really need to take a look at. And that's why we're doing this in Scripture. We don't know what people are battling inside themselves right now. People are private. People keep to themselves, and they don't want to let you in. They're guarded. And I would hate for us not to recognize signs. Are you saying, "Chad, we got a church full of people that are going to commit suicide"? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. But I want you to be aware, because it could happen. You never know. So shame and fear is what took Saul and his armor bearer out into eternity. I hope this has been a little bit of an eye-opener for you tonight, as it was for me. And I'm anxious to get with you in these next few weeks to go over with some more people why they enter their life. And you'll see some things in Scripture. Let's go ahead and stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Again, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in coming out today. And hopefully we'll see you this coming Wednesday night. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to be here. God, as we read two stories here, both men went out into eternity for different reasons. But God, I pray that as you have placed not only people in their lives to be a help to them, but God, you have placed people in our lives that we can depend upon and that we can lean upon. So God, I pray that you'd help us to have better discernment in this area, to be able to recognize some things in folks' lives so that we can be a help. Not just to people in here, but people outside of here that desperately need you as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, 42,000 Americans a year take their own lives. 800,000 people worldwide. Every 40 seconds, someone is going into eternity because they take their own lives. A life that you created, that you gave existence to. Lord, help us be a help to the ones who are in need of help, the ones who are hurting so desperately inside. God, we thank you for your love tonight. And again, we only love because you first loved us. Bless us as we leave from here. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.